the theme which I have selected for today's this session is the jewel of purity. Since 3 days, these thoughts have been revolving in my mind, and I wanted to share them with you. We all know that Baba, you know, is the greatest jeweler, not just a jewel merchant. Sometimes it is translated as jewel merchant, but he's the greatest jeweler who gives us trays full of jewels every day. And this is why the memorial in the scriptures is that from the ocean, when the ocean was churned, the trays full of jewels and diamonds and pearls emerged. Baba calls the knowledge given by him as jewels, and also says that each jewel of knowledge is worth multi-millions of rupees. Now the question is, first of all, why Baba compares knowledge with jewels? Sometimes Baba says knowledge is nectar, sometimes knowledge is food, knowledge is medicine, but knowledge is jewel. So, if you think about it, you will get the answer that the jewels are valuable, invaluable. Certain jewels, especially if they are flawless jewels, flawless diamonds, they are invaluable. And the knowledge which Baba gives to us, when this is imbibed by a soul and used in the actions, then this knowledge makes that soul invaluable in the eyes of God. And if the soul becomes invaluable in the eyes of God, then naturally the soul becomes invaluable in the eyes of humanity. In the same way, jewels decorate. Jewels, you know, increase the beauty. So when the soul imbibes or uses these jewels of knowledge in life, the beauty of the soul increases. You know? And beauty is in purity. Beauty is in purity. This is why when there is some kind of a stain on the face of a person, you know, the person tries to somehow, by using some cosmetics or something else, by plastic surgery, tries to remove these stains. Because the beauty is in purity. And when the soul begins to imbibe these jewels of knowledge, the soul begins to become beautiful. All the stains gradually begin to go from the soul. Also, the jewels sparkle. And when the soul imbibes these jewels of knowledge, then the soul also begins to sparkle, shines. Even in photographs, the aura of such a soul is different than the aura of an ordinary soul. And the more you imbibe these jewels of knowledge, the more, Baba says, you become an invaluable jewel yourself. And this is why Baba uses such expressions as original jewels, serviceable jewels, pure jewels. So Baba addresses us, his children, as jewels, because you become valuable by imbibing these jewels. So I was thinking There's so many jewels, so many. But one of the greatest jewel which Baba has given to us, without which we are actually not valuable, is the jewel of purity. The jewel of purity. And, you know, because of this jewel of purity, the soul becomes beautiful. The soul sparkles because of this jewel. The soul becomes valuable, praiseworthy, respectworthy, worthy of worship, even worthy of sitting on God's heart throne because of this jewel, the jewel of purity. You know, the soul goes so high because of this jewel. So the question is, how to reach such a stage when we do not expect praise or respect, of course not worship, when we do not think that how to climb on Father's heart throne. So how to become worthy that Baba offers me his heart throne? I really become praiseworthy and respectworthy and worshipworthy. How to reach this stage? So I think for that, first of all, we need to understand what is purity. What is purity? What is meant by being a pure soul? Since we became Brahmins, we are all living as pure souls. We are all following the path of purity. This is why we call ourselves Brahmins. This is why we have the right to come to Madhuban and to meet Bab Dada. This is why we have the right to sit in the gathering of Brahmins, because we are following the path of purity. But there is a big but. None of the Brahmin can say that I have attained that original stage of purity in which I came from Paramdham. I still have to reach that stage. So what is that stage? What is that stage of purity? You know, like every jewel has different facets. In the same way, if we call purity a jewel, it also must be having different facets. So today, probably I will be able to talk about few. What are the different facets of this jewel of purity? Generally, in our day-to-day language, because we have become jnani souls, Baba has given us so much knowledge, every one of us can speak at least for a few minutes on the theme of purity. Purity is celibacy, purity is freedom from five vices, purity is the purity of food, the purity of company, we can say purity of vision, purity of thoughts, purity of attitudes, and so on and so on. But what else? What else? We all know that we are eating pure food. Yes? At least to 90%. Yeah, if not 100%. We are all in pure company. We do not go in bad company now anymore. We do not have vicious vision. That is, there is purity of vision. What is that purity which will make me worthy of sitting on God's heart throne? That purity which will really make my Brahmin life full of peace and happiness. Because we all know that purity is the mother of peace and happiness. And even today, after many years of knowledge, our happiness disappears, our stage comes down, we become worried, we become tense. You know, something wrong with purity. Something wrong. Something is missing. So we need to understand, go deeper and deeper till probably the quite a long time in the depth of every aspect of purity. So what I would like to share with you today is, the first thing is that pure soul is like a clean mirror. Clean mirror. The mirror which remains uninfluenced, irrespective of who comes and stands in front of that mirror. Whether an ugly person comes and stands in front of that mirror, or a beautiful person comes, the mirror only shows his reflection, that's all. But the mirror remains unstained by the ugliness of the ugly person. The ugly person moves away from the mirror is again the same. The beautiful person moves away from the mirror does not run after the beautiful person. It remains as it is, clean and pure. So the pure soul is like such a clean mirror, in front of whom any person comes, but the pure soul remains unstained, uninfluenced, and not impressed. Not impressed. The pure soul will never say that because of this impression, I did this action. This is called a stain. Pure soul is not attracted towards anyone. Attraction already is impurity. Today Baba said that there is a lot of intoxication of knowledge, but still see, there is so much of body consciousness. Still, there is the pull of name and form. Not just in the sense of the first vice, but it can be because this person has, you know, the similar ideas as me, so he's my friend. Because this person listens to me, what I say, so he's my friend. This person agrees with me, what I say, so he's my friend. And this person does not, he's not my friend. So this pull of name and form, it is impurity. It is body consciousness. The pure soul does not get influenced whether someone ugly comes, ugly in the sense, or a soul with so many, you know, so to say, negative sanskars, or so many other beautiful qualities. But yes, it may happen, you know, that a ugly person, like maybe afraid of going in front of the mirror, because he's afraid of seeing his ugliness. His ugliness is revealed when he goes in front of the mirror. So he does not want to go in front of the mirror. In the same way, if there is ugliness in the soul, then such a soul with ugliness will be afraid of going in front of the pure soul, because he's afraid of his ugliness, this inner ugliness. If there is fear, you know, fear of facing someone pure, it is the fear of own inner ugliness and nothing else. But the pure soul, in front of whom this ugly soul will come, does not become influenced. It remains as it was. It remains pure, uninfluenced. Like Shiv Baba, uninfluenced. This is why Shiv Baba is called Satyam Shivam Sundaram constantly. So this is one of the qualities of the pure soul. So we have to check the self. Am I influenced by the situations, by people, people of different qualities. Does my stage fluctuate because of different situations and different people? If yes, that means I have to increase my level of purity. How? We will come to that little later. Now, another aspect is that pure soul is honest soul. Honest. The sign of Kali Yuga, which is also mentioned in the scriptures and which is the experience of everyone, is there is dishonesty in every aspect of life. And people think that it is not possible to live without being dishonest. There is dishonesty in relationships, there is dishonesty in earning money, there is dishonesty in politics, there is dishonesty in every aspect of life. Now, when we talk of dishonesty in Brahman life, impurity in the form of dishonesty in Brahman life, what does it mean? We are not running after status, we are not running after money. We are not like Laukik people. But this dishonesty exists. There, people are dishonest because they want to earn something material, some material benefit, whether it is money or status or position or whatever. And here, Brahmins become dishonest, so to say, to have spiritual benefit, so to say. They want to get spiritual benefit by using some dishonest means. I give you two examples. Now, everyone loves Madhuban. All love Madhuban. All want to stay in Madhuban for a longer duration, if there would be possibility. Because Madhuban is Madhuban, nothing to do, everything is ready, I have a lot of time for meditation, I have a lot of time for churning murli, atmosphere is very good, I don't have to run to my job, I don't have to do this, to do that, Madhuban is very good. But there is a system, group by group, you know, Baba's children are many, group by group, children come. But there appear some Brahmins who think, let me not tell my teachers, let me not tell my seniors. I tell them I will buy ticket myself. As long as my visa, I will buy ticket accordingly. And will stay in Madhuban for 6 months to get the maximum benefit. Do you think that this dishonest means will bring them benefit? Not at all. You know, they think they are doing it because of gaining some spiritual benefit. But motive may not be bad. If the means are bad, the result will not be desired. And in the same way, very simple thing. Many people I know think to live in Pandabhavan is better than to live in Gyan Sarovar. We should get the permission to live in Pandabhavan. Some get the permission and some try to find out some ways here and there to thinking their Amrit Vela is better, their Baba's room, there is Tower of Peace. But if you use dishonest means to get the spiritual benefit, you should underline, you will never get it. Because you are going against Srimad. Though, seemingly nothing wrong. Pandabhavan is Baba's home. Gyan Sarovar is Baba's home. How does it matter to live in Gyan Sarovar or Panda Bhavan? But there is a system. There is a system. We need to follow the system. If we break the system, and that too secretly, hidingly, it is impurity. It is impurity. And this impurity will not allow the soul to be peaceful and happy. It will not allow. You know? Purity is sincerity. Sincerity. So I should ask myself, when I begin to perform any action, do I sincerely consider the benefit of the yajna and the benefit of the divine family before I begin to do that action against Srimad? If I keep only my spiritual benefit in front and rest I ignore, yajna I ignore, family I ignore, it is impurity. It is impurity. So what is in front of my eyes, yajna first or me first? What is in front of me? In the Laukic world people say, nation first or your life first? What is first? The nation first. Your life is valuable, but it is less valuable than the valuable or the life of the nation. Yajna is more valuable than you as a person. So do I consider the benefit of the yajna in my eyes when I decide to do any action? And if not, that means I am not faithful to Baba. I am not faithful to Baba. I may say that I love Baba very much. Today Baba said, ask yourself, do you really love me? Yes, I love Baba. But then how come I forget yajna when I begin to do any wrong action? What is yajna? Yajna is Baba's yajna. Yajna is Baba. So, you know, this is another facet of this jewel of purity in the form of honesty and sincerity in all aspects of our life. There are many other examples which could be given here, you know. Sometimes we begin to, you know, pull somebody towards the self. I am serving someone, giving the knowledge, giving the course, and I try to give the knowledge in such a way so that this person will only ask about me whenever he comes at the center. Not of anybody else. Only me. Only me should remain in the eyes of this person. So Baba says, this is called becoming the guru of the path of bhakti. Guru divert their disciples from God. And if you also do the same, you pull the attention of people towards the self and not towards God, this is called impurity. This is called impurity. So bringing purity in the self means bringing that honesty and sincerity. And pulling everyone's attention towards God. First of all, keeping the benefit of the yajna in front. I want to glorify Baba and not I want to glorify myself. When yajna is protected, and yajna is protected by our actions, or yajna comes in danger also by our actions, when yajna is protected, this is called the power of purity. this increases the beauty or the sparkle of the soul. Now, another question comes here is, how to reach this stage of remaining uninfluenced, like that clean mirror, and how to bring honesty and sincerity in the self. What is our effort for that? So, the first thing is that I have to, Baba always says that yoga, of course, will destroy your past sins, and knowledge and yoga together will give you the method to transform your past sanskars. They are two different things. Yoga will destroy the past sins, the burden of the past sins. But besides this burden of the past sins, there is a big, huge amount of past sanskars, which actually push us to do something wrong. So yoga will destroy the past sins, and knowledge and yoga together, knowledge and yoga together will give us the method and the power, to transform our past sanskars. The sanskar of becoming influenced or impressed, it is also a sanskar. But I want to get rid of it. I want to change this sanskar. I want to enjoy real freedom. If a soul becomes influenced, means the soul is, you know, moving without using his intellect, divine intellect. Soul is dependent upon others' views, what others say. And Baba says, what others say, listen to them, but do not forget that I have given you a gift of divine intellect. Use that too. Divine intellect, not body conscious intellect, but divine intellect. Use that too. So, we need to ask ourselves a few questions. First is, do I sincerely love Baba, Yajna, and the family? Do I sincerely love Baba, Yajna, and the family? Do I consider the benefit of the Yajna before I perform any action which I feel will bring benefit to me? Do I consider the benefit of the Yajna before I perform any action which I feel that it will bring benefit to me? And another thing is, which is probably most important, Baba, not just like that, says, take care of your company. Take care of your company. Yes, we are in the Brahman's company, and it is an elevated company. But is it always elevated? If Brahman's company would always have been elevated, Baba will never talk about solitude. Never. Baba talks about the interest in being in solitude. There should be interest in being in solitude. The interest to become introvert. Because Brahmins are Brahmins, not yet deities. Means still some old sanskars work in Brahmins. And if you are always in the company of Brahmins, talking, it is very, very clear that you are going in the bad company. Brahman's company very quickly becomes a Shudra company when you do not go into solitude. Go in solitude. Sit with yourself. Think of what Baba said. Be just one with one, Baba, that's all. We do not isolate from Brahmins. We can't live without Brahmins. This is a family. But in the spiritual life, there is importance of both family and solitude. We need to learn to live within the family and to live alone, both. And I think if you do not find time in to be in solitude every day, at least half an hour, 40 minutes, it will be really very difficult to reach that stage of purity. No matter how many years we are in Gyan, no matter how many courses we have given, how many lectures we give, how many programs we organize, we can do many, many activities, but it will not bring any benefit if I don't sit with myself in solitude. Because I won't have that power in me. I won't have that power. If I am a pure soul, I am a powerful soul. Pure soul is powerful soul. Stable like Angad. And this is why Baba many times says weak souls, weaknesses are also impurities. Weak soul is not pure soul. It is impurity. So first is, therefore, what we need to do is, we need to have the purity of company. And the purest company is the company of Shiv Baba. He is the purifier. And that company can be enjoyed when I am in solitude. I am with myself. And another thing is, also we need to ask the self, do I remember the slogan, as the actions I do, so too will do others seeing me doing that action. So if I ask myself, I am doing this action, if others will also do the same, will I like it? Will Baba like it? Will I get the certificate of contentment from self, even from the self, from others and from Baba? So this is why Baba keeps on saying to us, like today also, ask yourself, check your pulse yourself. Am I Maharathi? Am I cavalry or infantry? Why should Baba see? Check yourself on the basis of these qualities. And another thing is, which is actually I very much wanted to share with you, was all of you know that in bhakti, if any image is injured even a little bit, its finger or somewhere, something here, anywhere, any part of the body, that image is not kept in the temple. That image is immersed in the water. And only a complete, wholesome image is kept at the place of worship. And worship-worthy image means a pure image. That means, if it is an injured image, it is not pure. Understand my point? Only a full image, without any injury, is kept at the place of worship. Little bit injury, it is thrown. It is put in the water. And we know that worship worthy is the pure one. That means any injury is also some kind of impurity. So, look, if somebody faces some accident, you know, has some injury on any part of the body, especially on the face, you know, the face, then this injury reduces the beauty, isn't it? And if this injury is very deep, it can make sometimes a person very ugly looking. In the same way, if there are some injuries on the soul, and we know that knowingly, unknowingly, because of this or that reason, whatever may be, some people have become a reason for causing me sorrow, pain, some kind of negative feelings, some unpleasant feelings. This life journey is full of these experiences. So many people have met in our life who have caused us some kind of pain and sorrow. And all these negative feelings, you know, remain on the soul in the form of negative experiences. And these negative experiences, these negative feelings, cause injury in the soul. They injure the soul. And if these memories of these incidents, the memories of these negative experiences remain, these injuries deepen. They deepen. They are not healed. Though it is said, God and time are the best healers. However, it is experienced that even after 10 years, 20 years, the injury is not healed. Why the time did not act as healer? Because the memories of those situations, of those incidents, you know, they were being repeated time and again. They became even more deeper instead of being healed. And so these injuries also reduce the beauty of the soul. Though somebody caused this injury, but beauty of me, the soul, is decreased. The soul may become even ugly because of these deep injuries. And this is why it is very, very important to heal these injuries and not to allow them to go deeper. How to heal? To wait for the time to heal? Time will heal. 10 years have already passed. Maybe 20 years will pass. Then I will be healed. But there is no guarantee. no guarantee. And so how to heal? And what about God the healer? God the healer is anyway, He is every day to us fortunate souls, giving us that remedy. How to heal? God says, heal yourself. Heal yourself. Become your own healer. Don't wait for anyone to heal you, your injuries. And how to do that? There is only one method. And the method is to forgive. To forgive all those who have caused injury. So just bring in the on the screen of your mind, one by one, and forgive that soul. Forgive that soul from your heart. Just by thinking, how many times I have been forgiven by Baba. How many times I have been forgiven by my seniors, by my friends. I have also made so many mistakes in relation to others. But I have been forgiven. So bring in front of your, in on the screen of your mind, these people. Just for a second. And forgive him. Let us for 5 minutes do this practical experiment. If you want to write the name of that person, maybe on a paper, visualize, and then forgive. Finished. Second, finished. To such an extent that it never returns back to your memory in the form of a painful incident, in the form of a sorrowful incident. So just 5 minutes, light music will be played, and each one of you be with Baba, bring these persons in your view, make them stand in front of Baba. And like Baba, the ocean of forgiveness, become the master ocean of forgiveness and forgive them. Heart is free from all feelings of pain, sufferings, and all the injuries are recovered. It is complete healing. Like the ocean of forgiveness, my Baba, the ever pure Father, I also become the master ocean of forgiveness. And all the waves of this ocean wash away the pains, the sorrows, the unpleasant feelings, the heaviness, the waves of joy dance in the soul, giving joy to others. The life is still continuing. I will never forget my this image, the master ocean of forgiveness. I forgive myself too, because of any wrong actions which I have done in my life. I am a jewel, flawless jewel, the jewel of purity, the child of the purifier. I shine, I sparkle, with my pristine beauty and purity. And enable other souls to become pure. Forgiven? Did you forgive everyone? Okay, so such is the wish that we return from Madhuban as jewels of purity. This is the need of the time. What is most missing in this world is purity in its different facets. And this is why there is no true love, there is no true happiness, there is no true peace. All are only searching. And responsibility is ours. Keep this aim. Today Baba said, keep the aim that we should become enthroned like Mama and Baba. It's the same. It is their purity which made them world emperor and world empress. So we need to become, you know, increase our level of purity in its deepest meaning. Then everything will be wonderful. Om Shanti. Any question? Kuch kahenge Vijay bhai? Any question? Okay, bully. Any, so no questions? Everything okay? Somebody saying something? Okay, no questions. Fine. Very good. So all the best. Brother Vijay wants to say you. Bolo, bolo, khade to ho jaiye. Okay, Om Shanti. There is a small announcement. Translating. In the evening from 7:30 to 8:15, Didi Nirmala will conduct a class for Gyan Sarovar Nivasis. The class will be in Hindi. And so if you are interested to listen to that class, please raise your hands, because then we have to arrange translations from Hindi to English and English to Russian and or any other language, Chinese. How many of you would be interested to listen? Please raise your hands. Class by Nirmala Didi in the evening after meditation from 7:30 to 8:15 for Gyan Sarovar Nivasis, but naturally for all of us. Okay, welcome. So we need Hindi to English. I don't know.